Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. I posted a message on my Facebook page, given that I'm being censored on Facebook, where I said today's radio program will be very special and very different. I hope you will find it inspirational. And I intend to go down that road for a bit. And 4,443 people were reached since I posted it. After that, and not more than 20 minutes ago, I posted an article that's shocking. Kill Trump Chorus Takes Sinister New Twist. I think it was published on, I don't know where it came from. But a board member of the anti-American, anti-family, anti-Christian, anti-straight ACLU in Colorado said on his Facebook page to kill all Donald Trump supporters. Not one comment from Facebook about taking down this call for death and murder. And I got 9,057 people reached on that one. And leads me right back to where I was going to go and where I will go. Listen to what I said. I intended to talk about something inspirational. 4,443 people responded. I showed an article where the ACLU threatens to kill and tells people to kill Trump supporters. And Zuckerberg has not taken down that post. 9,000 people reached. That kind of tells you everything. And it puts what I'm about to say in a new context. And here's what I wrote before the show. I just read it straight out. My voice and my ability to move crowds is my gift, but also my burden. This power of the magical voice, which I first discovered in the first grade in a slum school in the Bronx, can change people's fates. It's a great gift and a great burden. How would you use this power if you were me as a broadcaster and best-selling author from this day forward? I intend to make this day forward the first day of the rest of my life, as was said in the hippie 70s and 60s. We can change our lives. You say, well, what's wrong with your life, Michael? Well, it's not that there's anything wrong with my life, but it's not what I want it to be. I don't feel that I'm inspiring people in the way I want to inspire them. You see, you can inspire through hate, as ISIS does, as the ACLU does, even as Hillary and Obama do in their own quasi-moderate ways. They inspire through hate. You can inspire through anger. You can inspire through rage. You can inspire through false righteous indignation. We know that operates. We get it every day of the week, mainly on talk radio. In varieties, that's what you get. Anger, rage, false righteous indignation. And it riles you up and you listen. That's an inspiration. But then there's the bigger inspirations. You can inspire through love, hope, humor, the positives. I know it sounds hippy-dippy, 60s, but I look at the history of the world, and I look at the world today, and I realize that if we don't inspire each other through positive attributes, love, hope, and humor, we're going to descend into the barbarism of the left and the barbarism of ISIS. Now, maybe this is a different turn for Michael Savage. I get it. You like me to be hard. You like me to be tough. You like me to give you the breaking news. You like me to be cynical. You like me to be analytical. You like me to give you stuff that you don't hear anywhere else. I get that. But there's a limit to that. There's a limit to that. Believe it or not, that's all limited. There's a lot of area beyond all of that. That's called space, time, and the universe, and I want to go there. I want to go there in this life with you, and I want to inspire you in the most positive manner. So I'm asking you a simple question. If you were me, if you had the power that I have, for as long as I still may have it, and God only knows how long I'll have this power, as a broadcaster, as a best-selling author, How would you inspire people on this program? What would you do if you had the microphone to inspire people? And I'm going to give you the phone number, 855-400-7282, 855-400-SAVAGE. I think about this season that we're in, the season of peace and the season of love. I think of Christmas. Christianity is the religion of peace. Christianity is the true religion of peace. Islam is not a religion of peace. Christianity is the religion of peace. Christianity is the religion of peace. The religion of peace. Turn the other cheek. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. These are messages that come from Christianity. Now, many Jewish people do listen to this show, a very small number, but they're mainly the Orthodox Jewish people. The liberals don't listen to me because they have no religion. They have no faith. They have just cynicism and anger and a derision towards everyone except themselves. I get that. And I don't mean to denigrate Judaism in any way. It's a great religion. It's the primary monotheistic religion, or I should say the progenitor of all monotheistic religions is what I meant to say. The progenitor, not the primary. Judaism is the progenitor of all monotheistic religions. Every educated person knows that. But I want to remind all of my Jewish listeners that were it not for Christians, there would be no Judaism left on the planet. Hitler would have won. Every Jew would have been killed. There'd be no Judaism. It would have died off the planet. And that's why I say to the Jewish listeners who are not as evolved as I'd like them to be, you have to get out of the ghetto of your own mind. You have to come out of the ghetto of your own thinking and understand who your Christian brothers and sisters are. And to my Christian listeners, since I'm talking about inspiration today, what can you do? What can you do in an age of deceit and lies and terror? What you can do is reaffirm your own religion. Instead of letting your church become a mosque or a Unitarian a meeting place or a drunk tank on Tuesday nights, you can go to church again. However hokey that sounds, however cynical you are, however hard you are, however unneeding you think you really are, you know in your heart that there's something missing in you. You know that you crave something greater. Because the human being is not a dog. The human being is not a bear. The human being is not a fly. The human being is not an eagle. We are unique creatures. And we need something different than the bear, the dog, the snake, and the eagle. What is that thing that we need? It's that thing called God. These creatures, they don't know God. They are of God. They were created by God. But they don't really need God. That's why they're lower animals. We, as higher animals, need higher things than just food and fornication. Unfortunately, our society, primarily because of the degenerates in the media, have fallen lower than the snake. The media has promulgated the idea and promoted the idea that we only need food and fornication. And so when people are empty, that's what they seek, food and fornication. And when they're really empty, what happens? They become drug addicts. They start with marijuana, they end up with heroin, crack, you name it. What is it about drugs? What is it that human beings are seeking in drugs? Why do they go for drugs? As God has been driven out of America, drugs have entered America. I know this has been said before. I get it. But what does an empty soul look to do? An empty soul looks to fill itself. Just as an empty vessel needs to be filled with a liquid to be complete. An empty human being needs to fill itself to be complete. And how does it fill itself? I know, again, many of you will laugh because you're cynical. It's through those things I'm talking about, inspiration. The musician finds the inspiration God knows where. And then has the inspiration to pick up the instrument. Do you think a musician can play one day without inspiration from somewhere? Unfortunately, so many musicians don't have that human inspiration that they seek. And they get it through drugs. I get that. I understand. It's true for many artists who don't understand that the greatest artists were not drug addicts. The greatest artists in the history of the world were not drug addicts. They were usually God addicts. Did you know that? Look at the greatest art in history, you'll find most of them were super religious people who literally saw God in their living room. And they took the power of God, and it was transmitted through the paintbrush or through that piece of marble. How could a man like Rodin take a piece of inert stone and inside that stone see the essence of a human form and sculpt from that block of inert stone of marble the portrait of a human being that looks so real that 100 years later I go and look at them in the museum and literally inside that carved eye I can see the person? How is that possible? How? So today is a unique day for me. I could talk about Trump. I can talk about the ACLU calling for the killing of Trump supporters and Zuckerberg, who took down my posts, not taking down the ACLU's posts. It tells you everything you need to know about certain organizations in the media, how they're one and the same with the government. I've told you this for years, though. This is nothing new. They wouldn't have gotten this far if they weren't an arm of the government. Do you actually think that Google or Facebook or Microsoft could have gotten this far if they were not working hand in glove with the United States government all these years? Do you actually believe that? And in a sense, what I'm saying to you is the media is the government media complex. And so I stand again. I'll go back to what I said to you before. My voice and my ability to move crowds is my gift, but it's also my burden. This is a power. The magical voice. It's a power I first discovered when I found out I could speak to the assembly in the first graded PS-48 in a slum school in the Bronx. I found out that I enjoyed speaking to that crowd of kids. I wasn't afraid of them. I loved seeing their faces smile when I told a joke or made a fool of myself. It didn't matter. I was a little clown, and they laughed. I liked that. Well, when I spoke with such a clear voice and wasn't afraid, the little pipsqueak that I was, and the crowd listened to me, I enjoyed that power, and I discovered something. I discovered I can move audiences, and that means I can change people's fates, as I learned later in life. It's not about just being a clown. It's not about entertaining people and making them laugh. It's about changing people's fates. It's a great gift and a great burden. And so I turn the show over to you. It's a different show than I've ever done in my 21 years, because each day to me, I must tell you, I see as my last day in radio, my last day on earth. Would you believe that? I know you don't believe that. I know it's a form of reverse worship. But it's the only way to approach what I do and have any meaning. If I look at every show as though it's my last show, I look at my every book as my last book. That's a pretty big stress, by the way. But it also permits me to be fresh and new. And so I'm going to make it fresh and new with you. And ask you, how would you inspire people if you had my power as a broadcaster on all of these phenomenal radio stations and around the world on the internet? What would you do with this power to inspire people? Yeah, I said again and I'll repeat it again. Some inspire through hate. Do I have to say who? Do I have to mention who inspires through hate and division? Do I have to say the names or the organizations that use hate and division as their stock and trade? Or through anger, rage, false righteous indignation. I've used all of them. In my 21 years, I've used every one of those emotions to move my audiences, because every one of those emotions raged through me or played through me or danced through me. And today I want to go in another direction. You can inspire in other ways. You can inspire through love, hope, and humor. Now you say, Mike, you know, that's all well and good, but we're facing a Muslim enemy. And I know the rest of the story. I can give you the whole paragraph, the chapter, and the verse. I've written about it. I've talked about it. Almost everything that Donald Trump says I agree with, because it's all in my last two books. I'm not accusing him of plagiarism. Don't get me wrong. Trust me. If this is what you do in your spare time is write books instead of giving speeches, and then you hear the words that you say being spoken by others, what can you say? You say, thank God for the printed and spoken word.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. You got to be soft. Did you know that? Because if you're too hard, you'll break. Did you know that as well? You know, many people can't listen to talk radio anymore because although they know that we are truth-sayers, they're frightened. They know the government is filled with lying, deceitful. We don't even have words for this government of ours. Many of you have words, but we're not going to use them here because then I'll go into the hate that I'm trying to avoid, the rage, the anger, the righteous indignation. I've got to stay away from it. It makes you too brittle. It doesn't leave you flexible enough to fight them. And what's coming over the next year, year that's left of this monster, is unimaginable. You think you've seen it all, you're mistaken, because I know what they do in the last 3 months. It's the sine qua non of everything that they've done before that, magnified by three. What Bush did to us in the last 3 months of his reign was unimaginable. I was the only one in radio who saw it coming. I called him a socialist or something like, a fiscal socialist. It was August of the last year of Bush's reign. I had always been a little queasy about him. I never liked him. I thought he was a double talker. I thought he was part of the deceitful establishment. It was proven when all the talk show hosts who were conservative were invited to lunch with him except me. That was okay. I accepted that. I'm used to it as an independent, not Republican. I accepted that. Didn't matter. Now, what happened was, as I said, he's a fiscal socialist lookout, and he busted the economy out in the last 3 months, as you well know, and gave us Obama as a result. And they created Obama. Make no mistake about it. Republicans wanted Obama. They carried the football of deceit for 8 straight years, and they knew they couldn't carry it for another 4. So they gave you Obama for another 8, figuring they'll play the game back and forth, the two-card Monty. See? So now we've had a Democrat for 8 years. It's time for Republican. And they're shocked that it may be an independent nationalist like Trump. And they're doing everything they can to shaft the American people. But I want to talk about what I talked about. Could Handel's Messiah have been written at a time like this? Impossible. It's impossible. Nobody would listen to it. First of all, the mind that wrote this, that conceived it, doesn't even exist anymore. If it does, I don't know where it is. It's evaporated. It's been atomized by our government media complex, mainly by the media and drugs. So you still have this great music. God knows if it's permitted to be played. And I know this is a little off point. It's okay. We're around holiday time, and I'm talking about inspiring people through love, hope, and humor, the positives. We don't want to go with the anger, rage, false righteous indignation, or the hatred that is raging in America right now, primarily because the country is being stolen from us by the illegitimate vermin on the left. And I don't really want to go there. I don't want to get angry. And I know where this is going to lead. I'll give you a news story related to what I'm talking about. And it creates a conflict in me. Yesterday, a leader of the Yazidi people spoke before Congress. And he said, because we are not Muslims, we are being burned alive. Chaldean Christians and Yazidi leaders described the genocide of their people at the hands of the Muslims in the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria to members of Congress Wednesday at a hearing on assisting victims of ISIS. And he said, because we are not Muslims and because our path is the path of peace, we are being burned alive. That's amazing to listen to this. They're talking about the desperate plight of the Yazidis from Kurdistan who are being targeted by the Muslims and ISIS because they're considered heretics. And because they're members of a religion that believe in peace, they're being slaughtered, mainly because the Muslim-friendly / Muslim-oriented administration gives them a blind eye, will not give them weapons, will not give them air support, will not defend them. I don't want to eat my heart out over what's going on in this country because we know we have an enemy within that's on the other side of reality, the reality of most of the people. But the main point here is that here are people who practice peace. Their path is that of peace. They're being burned alive by the Muslims who claim to be Muslims in ISIS. So you say, well, Michael, that kind of goes against your entire frame of argument today. You're saying that you want to inspire through love, hope, and humor. Well, look what's happening to these Yazidis who are following their religious teachings of peace. They're being burned alive by the Muslims who are following their religious teachings of, well, you can fill in the blank. I know they're not Muslims, according to Obama. And I know it's politically just so incorrect to say they're not Muslim. Well, what are they then? Islamic State. Why do you think all of a sudden this government has suddenly started to use the Arabic phrase for them called Daesh? Because it doesn't have the word Islam in it. This is the brainwashing. This is the grotesqueness of this double-talking administration. They won't even say it's Muslim now. They want to call it Daesh. Kerry uses that fork-tongued liar. But again, I don't want to go there because, again, I'm going to go to somewhere I don't want to be in. I don't want to go there. So how do you fight without becoming hateful? How do you fight? How do you even maintain your sanity without maintaining hatred? That's the real question. You know, that's the real question everyone faces. How do you face such utter lies and hatred and a threat to our survival? And those of us who have grandchildren, we look ahead and we shake our heads and we say, this has to be stopped. We don't have a year left under this charlatan in the White House and the liars in the press. We don't have a year left. And many of us are at the point of no return with our desire to do something. Many of you can't even sleep anymore. Can't even sleep. Many of you are so agitated you can't sleep. Because you know what this man is doing to this country and the world. You know it. It's upside down. It's an Alice in Wonderland world through the looking glass. Everything he says is the opposite of reality. Everything he does is the opposite of what should be done. And the American people are screaming out for salvation. Now, I'm not running for office. Don't get me wrong. I made that decision a long time ago. When I first started in radio, I thought maybe I should be a politician. I toyed with the idea, but I don't have the nature for it at all. I could never survive the campaign trail. I have too hot a temper, number one. I don't like to cater to people. Number two, I don't want to raise money. Number three, I would get physically violent towards the media. I tell you the truth, I have no patience for these lying slime. And so I can't be around them. I've worked with them. I know what they do. I know how they've tried to destroy my career over these years. I'd rather do what I do this way. But how do you inspire people through love, hope, and humor? All right, so I talk about the dog, and many of you love Teddy. And I told you there'll be a Teddy-oriented book with 100 pictures of him. Him and me and some of them. It's mainly him and me. Today I'm very angry at him because he peed on the floor again when I turned my back. I got so mad at him. It was 5 minutes before the show, 2 minutes, and he snuck in the room that he goes in and he did it. I got so angry, I had to be on my hands and knees with a spray and a piece of paper 2 minutes before a national show. And as I was cleaning up this dog's mess and angry at him, I got so mad at him for sneaking around and doing that, I started to laugh. And I said, you know, I remember there were teachings way back in the 70s from collateral friends of mine who were Buddhists, who used to go to some of these Buddhist meetings where there were some very, very wise teachers. And one of the Buddhist teachers, all of the whites would go there and sit on there with their legs crossed in the lotus position, looking for some great inspiration from these Tibetan Buddhists or Zen Buddhists. And sometimes they get these really wacky statements such as, take the garbage out if you want to know what it is to be a Buddhist. Because if you don't take your own garbage out, you can't be an ascended master. And they didn't even understand what he was saying to them. What he was saying to them is, don't get so disconnected from reality that you don't even know what you are. In other words, don't leave your body. And if that means taking your own garbage out, then do it. There's a story related to that one of Einstein. I love this story. Great, great physicist Einstein. At this point, he was quite famous, and he had agreed to an audience with some man, I don't know who it was allowed to see him. The man came in, Einstein was sitting behind his desk, and he said, Herr Einstein, I realize what your theory of relativity means. It means that nothing is real. Nothing is real. So as the story goes, Einstein stood up slowly, walked over to him and slapped him in the face. And he said, is that real? Now, you see what I'm saying to you. Don't get so disconnected from reality with your philosophy that you forget the danger you put yourself in. Whether it means slipping on a sidewalk because your head is in the clouds, or bicycling through an intersection and killing a civilian because you think you're so great, as occurs too often in San Francisco where there are no laws against these bicycle terrorists, or in fact in many other ways you can get so disconnected from your body that you have no reality. Which leads us back again to, how do I inspire you in an age where those who hate us want to kill us, and in fact are killing us, as evidenced in San Bernardino last week. The government failed at every level. We learned today that Obama told the NSC and the FBI to downplay the terrorist angle of San Bernardino. That's only one part of it. There's another part to it. DHS, Homeland Security, that clown, had shut down the investigation into Farouk and Malik to protect the civil liberties of potential terrorists. That, to me, my friends, tells us everything we need to know about Jay Johnson of Homeland Security. I've known from the beginning this would happen, and this is just the beginning. So where does it lead us again? Outrage, anger, what's going to happen with your outrage and anger? And it leads me to this point. Here are these poor Yazidi people practicing a religion of peace being burned alive by Muslims in the Islamic State. So where does that leave us? Should we just turn the other cheek as they burn us at the stake? No, you all know that's not going to happen in America. I look at books that I'm reading right now. I'm reading books now on the Jewish Soviet partisans who fought the Nazis. These were ordinary men and women. They're ordinary lawyers, doctors, butcher, baker, candlestick maker, homemaker. Nobody would have expected that in a few years under Hitler, when they invaded the Ukraine and other parts of Europe, that Jews would be rounded up and killed, and that some of them would have to escape into the woods, join the partisans, and become murderers to survive. How could a little humble tailor, for example, learn to pick up a gun and kill Germans and stick a knife into their heart, seeing another man's face in front of his face until the man was dead in front of his eyes, so he could get that Nazi's gun and survive another day and put bread on the table for his wife shivering to death in the woods? How did he learn to do it? The agony, the destruction of the human spirit. Some survived. How did some of the Jews survive that? Not all Jews went into the gas chamber saying, oy vey. Not, you have the image, you and many of you have the image of Jews as weaklings. I would hope that by now you understand Israel was not founded by Jewish weaklings, and why Israel will last long after the hateful people around them are long dust. Israel will last forever, and the haters will be dead long after. Trust me on that one. Trust me on that one. Despite all its flaws, Israel is God's chosen land, and that's why the Christians support Israel. It's not to convert the Jews, as the cynical liberal Jews will tell you. So you look at stories like this, and you say to yourself, well, what would I have been? Would I have been able to go from who I am to picking up a weapon and fighting with them in the woods? I don't know. Would I? We don't really know, by the way, until you're put into that situation. But all my life, I have walk between powerlessness and power. Does that strike a chord with you? Can one man listening to this show tell me that you're different than me? Have you not walked your whole life between a feeling of powerlessness and power? See what I'm saying to you? How is it possible to know who you would be? Which one would you have been? The one who would have gone to your death peacefully, crying? Or would you have fought back? Now, many of you say, well, I would have fought back. Well, good, that's a good feeling. But there's a big difference between thinking that you would have fought back and having fought back. No one really knows. And so now it comes to today. We're facing a minor kind of war in the United States of America today. It's a war of ideas. The ideas that are coming at us from Barack Hussein Obama and Hillary Clinton, the press, the academic institutions, is nothing short of totalitarianism, mind control at every turn. Snuffing out Christianity, snuffing out individuality, snuffing out maleness itself. This is the message coming from these people. And many of you are on the front lines of the battle in your daily lives. And you know it and I know it, but you can't do anything about it. Again, we circle back to what I asked you at the beginning of this hour. And the hour is flying by as it always does. When I am inspired, as I am today, when I speak about inspiration, when I go to the deeper side of myself, the time is timeless. When the show is moving slowly, and I look at the clock, and it's only segment two, and I say, I don't know how I'm going to get through the next hour. I know it's a bad show. But like a day like today, when it's already 46, 47 minutes into the first hour of the show, and I haven't even begun to warm up yet. I haven't taken one call yet. I know the reason why. And so do you. And it brings us back to the question I ask you. How would you use this power that I currently have as a broadcaster, a national broadcaster, international broadcaster on the internet, a multiple best-selling author? How would you use this power from this day forward? How would you use this power to both inspire people? Well, no, to inspire people, not both to. Because the word inspire has in it everything I want to say. Inspire. Inspire to give you courage, to give you hope, to give you strength, to give you wisdom. That's what inspire means to me. You know, how many times have I gone into a house of worship in my life and walked out feeling emptier than when I went in? That's why religion is dying in America. It's not growing. I would go into these houses of worship in the emptiest times of my life. I'd come out feeling worse than when I went in. Do you know why? Because there was no leadership, just like the political class. You go in there, you hear mumbo jumbo and weakness. You don't want that. You want fire and brimstone. You want a man to get up there and lead you out of your darkness into the light, don't you? All right, I'll back in a minute here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. Will it soon be outlawed in Obama's hateful America? Stay tuned and find out what's coming over the next number of months. We don't know where this madness leads. But, I want to go back to my main point. I've got such callers holding on the line. One young man said I inspired him to become a successful soldier in Afghanistan. Another caller from BAP in Dallas is holding. Brad, who says he's a black man, and I inspired him from being a truck driver to being in a doctorate program. I want to get to those callers and others, but there's so much bubbling underneath the volcano right now that I have to stay with my own volcanic eruption before I go to the eruption of the callers. And I want to go back to the main point, which is inspiration. And the inspiration that I'm talking about, so I look at what people are emailing, and one woman writes, she says, oh, Savage, Susan Livingston says, just be yourself. I love the crazy quilt of madness, genius, academia, ego, pride, humility, joy, pathos, science, poetry, snacks, and on and on. So, in other words, they like me as I am. And I get that. But that's not what I'm talking about. I asked you what you would do if you had my power, my gift, my burden, my microphone. Another man says he would call to arms every member of the Savage Army. They want war. They want to stand up and be counted. There's a patriotic movement that is under the surface in this country that's about to stand up and be counted. You can see them at the Trump rallies like never before. And let me tell you something. The vermin who are ruining this nation see it as well as you do, which is why they want your guns.
Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Sometimes you got to go in a different direction. And I'm talking about inspiration today in the Savage Nation and how to inspire without using what the left uses, which is hate and division, without using anger, rage, false righteous indignation, which the left uses on a daily basis. Wake up today. We see that the board member of the Colorado ACLU posted a Facebook statement that all followers or supporters of Trump should be killed, shot, murdered. Read it. And Loretta Lynch said nothing. Madame Defarge of the Justice Department, Obama's Madame Defarge, said nothing. Robespierre said nothing. So you see, Loretta Lynch only said that to intimidate all proper American patriots. They are at war with us. They're at war with the truth. They're at war with America. I love when they talk about American values. Well, it's not an American value to threaten people who you disagree with, Loretta. Didn't you learn that in college anywhere along the way in the Al Sharpton School of Hatred and Division? Speaking of that low-life gutter rat Al Sharpton, I couldn't believe my eyes when last night I read the news and I saw that the Supreme Court yesterday was discussing affirmative action at the University of Texas. And lo and behold, in the audience was one of the lowest creatures in the history of the world. Al Sharpton was allowed into the Supreme Court to sit there and terrify the justices with his ugly face. What was he in there for? To intimidate that there'd be a riot outside the Supreme Court unless they, again, favored unqualified people over qualified people? Is that what he was sitting there for? What else would he be there for? How else do we have this government of ours, I thought. But I want to go back to what I want to go back to. And today, this hour, I'll take a different turn on it. Because it's a simple question. How would you use the power I have as a broadcaster and best-selling author if you were me? I've just wrote another book, Government Zero, which I'll mention proudly, because last night the plaque came. I have my publisher send me plaques, which they make up, which are like my mini Academy Awards. I have six of them, eight of them. I don't know how many. I joke with my family. I sent pictures out to my family of the latest one of Government Zero, and it shows the New York Times list, and it hit number three, and shows the list with that title, and underneath is the cover, and underneath that is a congratulations. I put it on the wall. And I say jokingly to the family, my granddaughter can sell it on Antiques Roadshow in 50 years. And I could just see what they'll say. Well, did your grandfather sign it? Because if he signed the back of it, it's worth a lot more. So I think I'm going to get out the old Sharpie and sign all of these plaques as I give them to her eventually. I always see things in terms of the past, present, and future. Nothing is what it is to me. Everything's past, present, and future. The same day that the plaque arrived, you say, where do I get inspiration from? I told you my father was a small businessman, owned a little small antique store in New York's Manhattan. And some of the stuff in there at that time was really good. I recognized it for what it was. I always had an eye for the good stuff. I could tell the difference between Doré bronze and let's say, pot metal, for example. I learned how to do that. Different type of metals, different type of clocks. He taught me to look at the hands of a piece of sculpture. He said, always look at the hands and the feet. You'll see whether they're good or bad. He taught me to look at paintings in the same way. Many artists can paint bodies. They can paint faces. They can't paint hands and feet. He was right. He was right about a lot of things. So I learned at the hands of an intuitive, smart man with regard to things that are good and things that are not good. And so one of the things I currently do is I collect antique guns. So yesterday arrived at my doorstep, actually I think it was today, a set of dueling pistols from 1880 from France. They're gorgeous, stunningly beautiful. You say, dueling pistols, that's so interesting. What were dueling pistols used for in France, in England, in the United States? What were dueling pistols used for? To duel. If a man insulted another man, generally on the of the gentleman class, they didn't go to Facebook. They went to the dueling field. That's how they settled their scores in those days. In a similar way, the gangbangers do it today, but they don't do it with the same honor or dignity. The low-life vermin in the ghettos don't use dueling as a form of gentlemen settling a score. They just walk up behind someone and shoot their brains out from behind because they're lower than animals in that regard. No, this is not as noble. I know many of you, the liberals, say, well, don't the gangbangers do the same thing? You say, settle scores with guns? Well, I just answered the question for you. No, that's not the way it was done. But the point is not the gun. The point is the workmanship. The point is that things are preserved through generations that are beautiful, whether it be a pair of dueling pistols or an antique statue or a painting. You look at the great art in Europe. What in the world does that not do for you when you go to Europe and go to Italy and see the great art in the churches, by the way? And here in America, in the churches, in the universities. And what are the illegitimi doing on these campuses today? The illegitimi who never belonged there in the first place, but were shuffled in, are now screaming, rip down the art because it's racist art. Rip down all the paintings that have Jesus as a white baby. I swear to God, there's a lawsuit right now from some illegitimate piece of, I can't even use the word. He wants all of the art in the museums in America to be removed because it offends him as a non-white person that all depictions of Jesus are of a white man. This is how sick the country has become, that we would let such gutter rats rise to such high places. And I blame the lawyers. I don't blame the rat. In other words, if you have a legal system that is so flawed that it permits this kind of lawsuit, you know, in America, anyone can sue anyone for anything. Why is that? Why? Because the lawyers wrote the laws, not because the people want that law. But anyway, that's a separate point. I'm saying inspiration. So I get some of my inspiration by buying guns or clocks or paintings, small things that show me that people can preserve things through war, revolution, hurricane, tornado, fires. Somehow they're preserved. People preserve what they can. And then we have these barbarians called the Islamic State that tear down everything in their path. They are the lowest form of humanity. They blow up Christian churches. They are committing genocide against Christians and Yazidis in the Middle East, and the creatures in the White House say nothing. They don't even send weapons to defend them. Nothing. They come begging for weapons, and the creatures in the White House don't even defend them. They get away with virtual murder. They're aiding and abetting genocide in the Middle East, and they get away with it because of why? Because there's no press anymore. If there was a press showing the pictures of churches burning and Christians being burned alive or Yazidis being raped that are being smuggled out, the people would be riled up against this incompetent pseudo-administration filled with pseudo-liberals. Pseudo-liberals, because they're not really liberals. They're anything but liberals. They're Machiavellian monsters. Power-mad Machiavellian monsters. So it brings us back to inspiration. It's funny that Al-Qaeda has a magazine called Inspire, I believe, where they inspire Muslims to kill. Did you know that? It's Al-Qaeda puts out a magazine called Inspire in Arabic. And they inspire young people to go out and learn how to burn, kill, maim, torture. Can you imagine such a thing? Can you imagine such a thing? Well, you better imagine it because it's going on. So that leads us to only one question, which is the question of the day. How can you fight such hatred? Can you fight it with love? The Christians would say, yes, love rules all. Well, I'm not so sure. I'm kind of there, but I'm skating around it. Because I told you about the Jewish ghetto fighters, the ones who didn't want to go to the gas chamber, the ones who did live in a sewer and escape into the woods, and had to kill Germans with their bare hands in order to get a gun, in order to kill more Germans, in order to survive the war in the woods, in 20 degrees below zero without a shelter. Go figure that one out. How could an ordinary butcher, baker, candlestick maker have done that? Could you do that? I don't know whether you could do it. I don't know whether I could do it. That's not the point. The point is that without guns, you ask anyone who's ever studied the Holocaust, ask anyone who's ever studied it, and ask them about the survivors. Every survivor will tell you the same thing. The survivors will tell you, those who fled into the woods to fight with the partisans, who were mainly Russians, by the way, every one of them will tell you the same thing, that without guns, they all would have died. That's all you need to know. That's all you need to know. The first thing they tried to get when they escaped into the woods was a gun, whether it was from a German or a farmhouse. Did you know that? They had to break into farmhouses and steal a farmer's shotgun in order to survive even another minute in the woods. You didn't know that. Don't tell that to the government, though. Don't tell that to Hillary Clinton. I want to go back, though, to what I'm trying to say to you, which is inspiration, and where does it come from? Anger, rage, false righteous indignation. Okay, yeah, fine. You could be inspired by all those things, but then you lose your humanity. That's the whole point I'm trying to make. You cannot let the cynical times that we are living in deprive you of your humanity. Because if you lose your humanity, you're going to lose everything. Even if you survive physically, you will die spiritually. I guess that's what I'm trying to say to you through today's show. And sometimes it takes me a while to develop an idea. You know, it's said, and I learned it when I was a young boy, or actually wasn't. I was a struggling young man, and I couldn't get where I wanted to go. No matter what I did, no matter how I tried, I was just hitting stone walls. No matter what I did, I couldn't get where I wanted to go. No matter how high I went in education, teaching, learning, it didn't matter. They locked me out because of my race. And I just was so frustrated, and I was so depressed, I didn't know what to do. I had a young family. I didn't know if I could survive with the pain I was suffering. And then I was reading things, inspirational books. Little inspirational books helped me a great deal. And one of them said that instead of sitting at your on your couch, this was in the 70s, lamenting what's wrong in your life, get up, and they said you could write a letter in 2 minutes, what you could do in 1 or 2 minutes. In those days, there was no internet. Write a letter to someone who can change your life. Imagine what you could do now with the internet in 2 minutes. Think about how many emails you could send in 2 minutes that can change your life instead of wasting your time on Facebook or Instagram. Just wasting your time on these stupid social outlets. Think about it, what you could really do with 2 minutes of your life using the internet, the power that you really have. Or another one said, if you're depressed, get up and go walk around the block. Think about what one walk around the block could do when you're depressed. Get off the couch, go walk around the block. And another book I read, when I was insomniac, I had insomnia, I couldn't sleep, I was terrified, and I read a book that said to me, no man ever died from a lack of sleep, but he's died from a lack of, from worrying about a lack of sleep, because we don't need as much sleep as we think we do. And then they said, think about what you could do in that nighttime. Well, they said, you can look at the stars, which I did. I learned to walk out on my deck and look at the stars, and then eventually I fell asleep. Or you could do various things during those phases of, quote, insomnia. It's just your mind is active. It doesn't mean you can't sleep. It means you don't want to sleep. It means your mind doesn't want to go to sleep. Your mind is working on a problem. Do you understand that? Now, once you understand that your mind is working on a problem, you don't need to take drugs to fall asleep, because you don't really need to sleep. Ask a soldier how much sleep he really needs. Ask the soldiers who come back from Afghanistan if they're not up for 3 days in a row or more. They don't die from it. So what I'm saying is there are many things you can do to keep yourself going in times of stress or in times of need that don't require, you know, artificial crutches such as drugs and medication. So then I learned at that time a certain phrase, and I have to wrap this up at this junction. I learned a simple thing, New York thing, every dog has his day. I learned that from gamblers that I knew. Street kind of guys that would say, yeah, Mike, every dog has his day. You ever hear that phrase? I never knew what it meant. I mean, don't worry about it, man. One day you'll find that day that's going to be your day. And that comes from a religious point of view. For there is no man who does not have his hour and no thing that does not have its place. What does that mean? I'll tell you when I return right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO, all based upon the teachings of Christianity. Do you understand how this music originated? It didn't originate from the gutter. It originated from a higher plane, and that's where it takes you. Do you get it? Why our society is dying? The entire society has been pulled down to the lowest common denominator, the gutter. The gutter dictates all of our popular culture. The gutter dictates the networks, selections. The gutter dictates virtually everything in our society. So again, I have to go back to my primary point. I'm in the media. I've been in it for 21 years. I've had books published since 1972. I had my first bestseller in 1972, Earth Medicine, Earth Foods, about North American Indian medicines and foods, Macmillan, 1972. Think about that one. I have to tell you, I mean, I've been around a while doing a lot of writing. I wrote before then. I started writing in the 1960s, and my journals will be published from the 1960s. Only one year of them, a few years of them, will be coming out sometime in the spring from World in the Daily. I have a lot of books coming out this year. And it's a collection of all of the years of building up and coming to fruition all at once almost. Anyway, I don't want to go into why, how, whatever. What I'm saying is inspiration, inspiration, inspiration. And I'm trying to inspire you without resorting to the anger, rage, indignation. trying to use love, hope, humor. Not easy to do. Not in society that is used to responding to things that make them angry. A society used to responding to things that make you, that enrage you, or get you so indignant you don't know what to do with yourself. I don't want to let it happen, because it'll destroy me and probably destroy many listeners to go down that road. So I'm going to keep trying to retain strength while not being pulled into the well of hatred. But when I read that the Yazidis were taught to love, it's a mixture of Christianity, Judaism, and Buddhism for that matter, are being enslaved. Girls are forced into sexual slavery. Girls are subjected to daily multiple rapes by the Islamic State monsters. I have to say to you, where is your government and which side are they on? Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Maybe it's too highbrow for the average Dem Repub out there. I don't know, but I got to go where my head goes, my heart goes, and here's where my head is today. Here's where I am today. We're at a juncture in America where I don't think we've ever been. A juncture where Facebook is seen as an arm of the government. How else do you explain the fact that a board member of the Anti-Christian Liberty Union, the worst organization in the history of America, puts a Facebook statement up that all Trump supporters should be killed? It's in writing. And Zuckerberg's little fascist dummies didn't take it down. While I put up pictures of actual signs that actual Muslims actually carried outside an actual Danish embassy in 2006, and they removed it from Facebook. So you say you're not at war. You are at war. They own the media, though. They own the media. They own the words. They own the images. And take a look at the sad sacks who run Hollywood. Look at these sad creatures, these powerful men who have the power to shape the minds of America and the world. Look how they're failing us. Instead of helping us fight this dictatorship, they are the dictatorship. They are the Judenrat. I'm sorry to say it. It's a very, very tough thing to say, and it's aimed only at a certain audience out there. They're working for the enemies of freedom itself through the images that they put out, through the stories that they don't tell rather than the stories they do tell. And the stories that they do tell through film, they do things that you can't believe to the human spirit. But what's the point of talking about it? I have no power over them. I'm not a movie maker. I'm only a talk show host and a writer. So I ask you again, I'll go back to the calls in 1 minute. I'm going to get to the calls right now. I haven't had one call in an hour and a half. What would you do if you had my microphone, the power I have as a broadcaster and best-selling author from this day forward? How would you inspire people without using anger, rage, indignation? Could you use love, hope, and humor? Could you? To inspire people to go on? How do you explain the fact that Al-Qaeda or one of the other Muslim hate groups, these terror groups that do such horrible things, put out a magazine called Inspire on the internet that encourage people to join their sick organizations to go over and rape young girls and et cetera. I can't even tell you what they do. If you want to hear what they do, I'll tell you what I'm going to do for a moment. Yesterday, a leader of the Yazidi people went before Congress. Thank God for the Republicans who invited Mirza Ismail, chairman of the Yazidi Human Rights Organization International, to try and tell the world what Obama is ignoring. Listen to clip three. Are you ready for this? You better hold on to your seats. Play it.
Thousands of young Yazidi women, girls, and even children, who as I speak have been enslaved and forced into sexual slavery. These girls are subjected to daily multiple rapes by ISIS monsters. According to many escaped women and girls whom I talked to in northern Iraq, the abducted Yazidi, mostly women and children, number over 7,000. Some of those women and girls have had to watch 7, 8, and 9-year-old children bleed to death before their eyes. after being raped by ISIS militia multiple times a day.
I know his English isn't as good as that of Barack Obama. I realize he's not as charming. But listen to clip four.
Amy's
speaks
mothers,
a better English.
Whose children were torn from them by ISIS. These same mothers came to plead for the return of their children, only to be informed that they, the mothers, had been fed the flesh of their own children by ISIS. Children murdered, then fed to their own mothers.
Did you hear what he just said? The mothers come to plead for the return of their children. They're given a meal, and then these monsters tell them with a smirk that you've just eaten your own child at the meal. It's beyond anything that Hitler even did. What's going on right now in this time, and liberals choose to hate supporters of Donald Trump. I don't have words for what I need to say, so I'm going in a totally other direction. You heard the man's speech? I hope you heard it. I hope you can spread the message of hatred, the hatred that's coming from ISIS and being covered up by the administration. Spread it. Go spread that message. Spread that soundbite around, because this man is telling you what's really going on. And I have nothing but contempt for the media for hiding this. They're hiding it. They won't let you hear it. So it comes back again. We circle back to the question. Can love, hope, and humor save this world when such monsters are doing such things and the government media complex is hiding them? I don't know. I don't even have an answer. So I'm going to go to the callers now for a few minutes. I'm going to start with San Francisco, where I live and work. KSFO, Mike, go ahead. What would you do if you had my microphone and my abilities? Mike, are you there on line six, or are you gone? Dead in the water. Fang, it's what I love. The greatest call screening in the history of radio. Line number nine, Peter on WABC. We'll try you. Go ahead, please. I'm not getting any calls. Okay, so we have another technical. Are you there, Peter?
Yes, can you hear me, Michael?
Go ahead. My call screener should have told you you're on, but go ahead.
Jesus said the truth would set you free, and that's what you do. That's what's inspirational. If I had your microphone, I would direct people to your show. The media not putting you on is the biggest indictment against them of all. I spent 3 years in Afghanistan as a member of the Fighting 69th Infantry here in New York, and you're an inspiration. Just like everyone who listens to you, it's like talking to Jeremiah or Isaiah. Literally, every day we get that opportunity. And to be able to thank you over the air in public is an honor to me.
No, the honor is mine, and I'm not saying that to be polite. You're the soldier. You're the warrior. You're on the front lines. You're the ones taking on these animals, not me. You know who these animals are better than anyone listening to the show does, except soldiers who face these animals in combat. Peter, I'm sending you a Christmas gift, which is the only thing I can send you other than my respect, a copy of Government Zero. Thanks for your service to the United States of America. Now we go to Dallas, Texas. WBAP Line 2, Brad, thanks for holding. You're on the air. What's on your mind?
You know, Dr. Savage, thank you so much for having me. Man, you inspire me. I'm an African-American male. I'm 32 years old, and I was taken by ambulance when I was driving trucks in 2009, and the ambulance driver had your show playing. First time I ever heard it. I've voted Democrat my entire life. I was raised that way, being African-American. We was taught to be a Democrat, and after I heard your show, I literally looked for you for weeks after that just to hear who you were, hear what you were about. And following that, I enrolled myself in school. I was a college dropout. I enrolled in school, and here I am now, about to start my third year of my doctorate program. And so I had to call and had to tell you thank you, because you've inspired me, not only me, but also my wife of 10 years. And so we're just happy. But we take a lot of heat being in, you know, African-American. We take
unbelievable. You know, Brad, I'm floored by what you just said. I want to go back to the beginning. You were in an ambulance as what, a driver or a patient?
No, I was a patient. I was having gallstone issues. I just found out I had gallstones.
And while you were being rushed to the hospital, the ambulance driver had the Savage Show on? Is that what you said?
That's exactly right. Your show.
You know, normally it would give liberals gallstones listening to me. In your case, it helped you move them out of your body, I guess.
Right, that's exactly right. It literally motivated me. I mean, hearing you would just inspire me that day, and it motivated me tremendously.
But Brad, without indulging myself, what is it that you heard that inspired you to go from truck driver to doctoral student? What is it that you heard?
The number one thing that you said, America, you need to wake up. You said you guys have been asleep. You were saying we were dormant and that we need to wake up. And I asked myself, have I been dormant? Do I need to wake up? I didn't even think I could agree with that. And so I spent 3 weeks looking for who you were in your show, and I listened to you to be the opposition. And through the 3 weeks that we listened to you, I'm a convert. I'm a New Testament savage.
God. Well, that's nice to hear. Well, good luck with your studies, Brad. I'm sending you my book for Christmas as a token of my appreciation for your willingness to stay on the line and basically tell your story during this caller phase of the program. Very interesting the way you touch people. So I go back, I ask a question. What would you do if you had my microphone, if you had this power for 1 hour, one day? What would you do? And he said to me, you've already done it. You don't have to do anything different. So that's an interesting statement. Then I got an email from, I hope I can mention Craig Smith's name. He's my sponsor for 16 years with Swiss America, the greatest gold company in the world. 16 years he supported the show through thick and through thin. Through every tribulation I've gone through, he's been there with me. And he sends me an email. He said, my God, Savage, what a word picture about a humble tailor fighting to save and feed his family and ultimately save future Jews. I would love to read that book. Your statement in this segment affected me like none other. And he's been listening to me forever. And he says, Michael, I sit here in my cabin at 7,000 feet in such deep thoughts. Thoughts I never knew I had the ability to reach your gift, says Craig. It's amazing. I didn't write that. I didn't ask him to write it just to get a plug on the air. I just tell you that people do listen, and they do hear, and some of them do actually listen to what I'm saying, and they listen to it, and they change, their lives change for the better. It's a shame that we live in a world where you can castigate a man for his thoughts without having listened to his thoughts. But we just played the Yazidi leader, who has much bigger problems than I do, comes to America and tells us about girls and women being raped until they bleed to death, and mothers who go to plead for their daughters' lives in front of these monsters called the Islamic State, and they give them a meal, and then they tell them with a laugh that you had just been fed the flesh of your own children. We murdered your daughter or your son, and we fed them to you in that food that you just ate. Stories that you can't even imagine are true. Can you believe this? Would you like to hear a little more? Because I'm going to play one more piece. This is real radio now. In the midst of all this love, peace, and humility. Listen to clip 5.
ISIS militia have burnt many Yazidis alive for refusing to convert and marry ISIS men. Young Yazidi boys are being trained to be jihadists and suicide bombers. All of our temples in the ISIS-controlled area are exploded and destroyed. The entire Yazidi population was displaced in less than one day on August 3, 2014, in Sinjar. The Yazidis and Kildor Syrian Christian faced this genocide together. Why? Again, because we are non-Muslims. And because our path is the path of peace. For this, we are being burnt alive. For living as men and women of peace.
Did you hear what he just said? Genocide against Assyrian Christians, against Yazidis. Genocide by Muslims, because our path is the path of peace and they won't convert to Islam. And we're told it has nothing to do with Islam. Obama keeps putting out the propaganda and the big lie that the Islamic State is not Islamic. And now the deceitful propagandists have the nerve to want us to not even use the word ISIL anymore. The acronym ISIL, that's not good enough for those propagandists who are obviously, something's wrong here with this picture. They're now demanding that we use the word Daesh as the acronym for these murderous genocidal maniacs in order to disassociate the word Islam from them entirely. And you think you're not living through propaganda? How can a liberal listening to me talk with you today? How could you still call yourself a supporter of Hillary Clinton? I don't understand it. How could you support a woman who will not step up for girls who are being raped until they bleed to death? How can you support a woman who puts out propaganda on a daily basis, making Republicans worse than the Islamic State? How can you support these values of yours when they're not values? They're non-values. I don't understand it unless you yourself agree with them. And you really have no values. So I can't change anybody's beliefs. And I'm not in the business of wanting to change your beliefs, truthfully. And you know, when you ask me what I really get up and do the show for, do you think I get up every day and say, oh, I'm going to change one liberal into a conservative? That's not what I'm doing. I have no way to know who's listening to the show when you have millions of a mass audience, millions of people. How do you know who's listening at any moment? I want you to think about what I do when I ask you what you would do if you had my microphone for one day, 1 hour, 1 minute. Think about what I'm about to say to you. I'm sitting in a room with a microphone with a dog sleeping on a little pillow near me. And I know my audience by the ratings numbers. Any 15 minutes, it's called AQH, it's larger than any football field in the country by 3 or 4. That's how many people are listening at any 15-minute interval. Answer the question in that context when I return right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO. Thanks for sitting at my table today and having dinner with me or lunch, whatever you may be doing, snacking. I mean, basically, that's what we're doing together. I mean, talk radio is a community at the end of the day. You don't see me sitting in the Oval Office. I'm giving an example. Big insignias behind me with powerful microphone putting out lies. We wouldn't exist one day, 1 minute in talk radio. None of us would. Were we not providing a service for the American people? We're speaking with you because we're basically all one community. And as any community will be, we disagree with each other sometimes, we agree with each other most of the time, or we wouldn't be sitting and talking together as we do with back and forth. So there are several different communities going on in this country at any one time. Why is it that I had to be the one to play for you the soundbite of that poor man from the Middle East, the head of the Yazidi Human Rights Commission, to tell you about the rapes of young girls who are being led to being bleeding to death from the rapes? 9-year-old children, 7-year-old children. And Hillary Clinton, who's allegedly carrying the banner of womanhood, does nothing but give us that ha 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 yak 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 with those psychotic eyes of hers. Yak 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 ha ha ha. Why those evil men? Ha 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 ha. And you women buy it.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Well, things are heating up in this sick nation of ours. It's on life support as a result of a deranged surgeon in the operating theater who never should have been given a medical license to begin with, who conned his way into the surgery and has been botching surgeries for 7 years right now, and they still won't fire him. That's it. Did you see the World Net Daily story? I mean, it's based on reality. Go look it up yourself. Which is, I hope it's up on my website. I can't find it, but I'll tell you about the story. You see, a board member of the ACLU, you know what the ACLU is, don't you? It's another foreign government within our government, that called for the killing of Trump supporters. And he's on the board of the ACLU in Colorado. I can't find the story right now, but I can't mention the man's name, but it's still up there somewhere. I think it's on my Facebook page right now. I don't see it on WorldNet Daily even. But Facebook didn't take down the posting. Kill Trump chorus takes sinister new twist. There it is, right there. And Facebook didn't take it down. Cheryl Chumley wrote it. ACLU called him Goebbels, said it's the final solution. His name is Loring Werbel, co-chair of the ACLU's Colorado Springs chapter. First compared Trump to Joseph Goebbels. He then called for the killing or injuring by gunfire of Trump supporters. He wrote it on Facebook, as reported by the Daily Caller. And he says, this is the final solution. If you're voting for him, I will have to shoot you before election day. Werbel, ACLU, went on. They're not going to listen to reason. So when justice is gone, there's always force. This is on the Facebook page. When justice is gone, there's always force. Final solution. I will have to shoot you before election day if you're voting for Donald Trump. Loring Werbel, W-I-R-B-E-L, with a peace logo, of course. As you well know, the peace logos always stand for fascism. Chairman of the Colorado Springs, the ACLU, board member of the Colorado ACLU, announced a strategy to defeat Trump, which is to shoot any Trump voter. They didn't take it down from Facebook. They took down my posting of pictures of actual Muslims holding actual signs in front of the actual Danish embassy calling for the death of Europeans and of Europe. They took that down. So I rest my case. Now, talking again about censorship, we had a Yazidi leader come before Congress saying that because we're not Muslims, we're being burned alive. Unspeakable horrors are being inflicted upon children who are not Muslims. That you have to listen to it. I have to play it again, I guess, until you finally hear it. I know he doesn't speak as well as Barack does. Mirza Ismail has a broken English. I realize it's not as slick as him, not as hateful as Al Sharpton, not as smooth as that of Hillary Clinton, but his message is shocking. They say that mothers go and plead for their children who were torn away from them by ISIS. They're fed a meal by the Islamic State. They're given a meal. And then the men in ISIS, the humans, the subhumans, say to the mothers, "Mother, you've just been fed the flesh of your own child." Children are being murdered and fed to their own mothers. And Obama says nothing about this. The ABC, CBS, NBCers say nothing. The Jake Tapwaters, those men without a conscience, all of these slick men without a conscience say nothing about this. Why don't they say anything about this? Because it would make Obama look like what he is, a disgraced surgeon in the surgical ward who's committing one botched operation after another. In other words, if you have a surgeon who's cutting people up on a surgical operating theater, and he's killing one patient after another, and you don't fire him, how is that even possible? How? Because there's no medical board of oversight, no oversight board over the doctors called politicians, especially when it comes to the presidency. But I'm getting off track. I did that just to get you to understand how important this story really is. I started in another way today. And I started this way. I said, my voice and my ability to move crowds is my gift, but also my burden. This power that I have of this magical voice that God gave me, I first discovered in the first grade in a slum school in the Bronx. And I found out that I can change people's fates with my voice later on in life. As a kid, I found that I can move audiences. I didn't know what that meant. Later on in life, I found out that I can change people's fates with the power that God gave me. And I said it's a great gift and a great burden. And then I asked you, how would you use this power if you were me as a broadcaster and best-selling author from this day forward? How would you use the power that I have to inspire people? And then I added this. I said you can inspire through hate, as ISIS does or Al-Qaeda does. Or you can use hatred, as the ACLU does, or as Obama does in a kind of moderate way. Or you can inspire people through anger, through rage, through false righteous indignation, as many do on a daily basis. Or you can inspire, I said, through love, hope, and humor, which are the positives. Now, I know that it's cynical to think that love can beat hatred, And yet Christianity is built upon that one premise, isn't it? Think about that. The entire religion is built upon teaching people to turn the other cheek and to love thy neighbor. Well, that's easy to do when you live in a loving community. But when now the community has been turned into a hateful community by this bot, the surgeon who is in charge of the entire surgery, he has taught neighbor to hate neighbor, race to hate race, gender to hate gender, nation to hate nation. Think about the damage this one man has done. He's almost brought us to the brink of World War III. He's taught us to hate our allies, Russia. I want you to think about this. It took 50 years of a Cold War where we lived on the brink of a nuclear holocaust to bring Russia and America together again, and things were going smoothly until this monster got into the political world, and now he's turned the American people and a good portion of the Western world against Russia. Think about this. Think about how insane this is. And think about what this means with regard to world peace. We're on the brink, possibly, of World War III. Now, I saved this story for the third hour. I pulled it off last night from an obscure website. 100,000 foreign troops, including Americans, are going to be deployed in Iraq, according to a leading Iraqi opposition MP. The U.S. is to send some 10,000 troops to Iraq to provide support for a 90,000-strong force from the Gulf states. The politician said the plan was announced to the Iraqi government during a visit by U.S. Senator John McCain. During a meeting in Baghdad on November 27th, McCain told Prime Minister Hadir Abadi and a number of senior Iraqi cabinet and military officials that the decision to send 100,000 troops was non-negotiable, claimed Hanan Fatahullahi, the head of the opposition Irada movement. 100,000 foreign troops, including 90,000 from Saudi Arabia, the UAE, Qatar, and Jordan, and 10,000 troops from America will be deployed in western regions of Iraq, she wrote on her Facebook page. She added that the Iraqi prime minister protested the plan, but was told that, quote, the decision has already been taken. The Americans would prop up a 90,000-strong international ground force provided by Sunni Arab countries like Egypt, Turkey, and Saudi Arabia. Did you hear this? The region is ready to explode. And that's because the region hates ISIL. Because ISIL is coming for Sunni Arab nations. Turkey hates ISIL. The entire region wants Assad gone. So there is an opportunity here with some American leadership to do two things, according to the crazy warmonger, Lindsey Graham. The crazy warmonger, the madman, Lindsey Graham, said there's an opportunity to do two things with American leadership. To knock out ISIL and to push Assad out at the same time. Sounds good, doesn't it? Well, think about it very carefully. Who is supporting Assad? Russia. So what does this mean? These two lunatics, McCain and Graham, are some of the most dangerous loose cannons in the history of the world. This stupid plan poses the risk of direct confrontation between the proposed coalition force of 100,000 and Russia and Iraq, which are both militarily assisting the Assad government and may not stay out of the fight. Something which these two psychotic sisters, McCain and Lindsey Graham, have not thought about in their insane plan. That's some news that I saved for the third hour. This is what this lunatic in the White House has permitted to arise, with the help, by the way, of two stupid Republicans, if you want to call them that. McCain has always been a lunatic, a madman. A madman who was either crazier before he went to Vietnam and then became crazy after the torture of 5 years. In either case, a Manchurian candidate, stooge for the military-industrial complex, in my estimation. McCain is a lunatic, a madman, a warmonger. This is the same McCain who went to Ukraine and stirred up the Ukrainian people and started a civil war. This is the same madman who, with his foaming mouth, went to Cairo and tried to topple a legitimate government and get back the Muslim Brotherhood. I want you to understand what I just said to you. McCain is a certifiable madman, a warmonger, a stooge of the New World Order, a neocon who represents the military-industrial complex, who is just itching for another war so they can fill their coffers with more blood and more money. This is McCain and Lindsey Graham, another crazy man. They want this war, and here in America, kill Trump from the ACLU? And where is the leader of all of this? Where is the leader of all of this madness? So I say, well, what would you do if you had the microphone? I don't know what you would do. Here's what I'm doing. I'm trying to make sense out of the world. I want you to think about this. All the news that I could be talking about, all the stories that I could be dispersing on this radio show. Look at this. I read one news story, 100,000 foreign troops, including Americans, to be deployed in Iraq, and I show you how it risks World War III. And in the last hour, I played a soundbite, only a single, two soundbites from a single man, the leader of the Yazidi people from the Human Rights Organization, who are talking about enslavement and rapes of young girls, which is being ignored completely by the men without a conscience, the men without a soul, the women without a conscience, the women without a soul in the media business. So before I take my first break, I don't want to lose it. And it's going to take some work on your part. It's only a few seconds. Listen to what's actually going on while the crazy mad surgeon in the White House continues to botch one operation after another. Listen to clips 3 and 4.
Thousands of young Yazidi women, girls, and even children, who as I speak have been enslaved and forced into sexual slavery. These girls are subjected to daily multiple rapes by ISIS monsters. According to many escaped women and girls whom I talked to in northern Iraq, the abducted Yazidi mostly women and children number over 7,000. Some of those women and girls have had to watch 7, 8, and 9-year-old children bleed to death before their eyes after being raped by ISIS militia multiple times a day. I met mothers whose children were torn from them by ISIS. These same mothers came to plead for the return of their children, only to be informed that day the mothers had been fed the flesh of their own children by ISIS. Children murdered, then fed to their own mothers.
Children murdered and then fed to their own mothers by the Islamic State. I'm looking on the Fox News website. There's no mention of this story. I'm looking on every website in the United States of America. There's no mention of this story. Nobody cares about what's going on in the Middle East. Victims of rapist cop were forced into sex through fear, says a troublemaker in New York City. That's in the New York Post, but I don't see this story. Freezing weather may have killed Kristen Cavallari's brother. I don't even know who she is. This is a woman, Kristen Cavallari had a brother. I don't know who she is. She was on a soap opera in 2005. This is what Murdoch Jr. puts on the front page. Elizabeth Olsen dumped me the day my best friend died. Did Mets let the aggressive Cubs claw past them in NL? Kylie Jenner and her plump pout. It's unbelievable, and you wonder why America has no brains. Trump website goes down after anonymous threat. Fuhrer grows at Citadel over photos of cadets in KKK-style hoods. Which stories are more important? Pesticide in milk may cause Parkinson's disease? Or the rape of 7-year-old girls? And here's the part that grates me the most. Hillary Clinton represents women. She represents women against men. Women against evil Republican men. And that lying Hillary Clinton says nothing about actual rape, actual kidnapping, actual slavery of girls, nor do any of the American feminists. I rest my case.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or Swiss America. The fact that hatred, anger, rage, righteous indignation definitely provoke people more than love, hope, and humor. That's a given. I mean, people think that when you talk about love, hope, and humor, you're getting soft. But I'm doing it for the opposite reason. I think that many people in America who could be warriors for the truth, who could expose the charlatan and get him out of office before his term is up through impeachment, through a medical board that examines his sanity. I've said that before. I think that a board of 9 psychiatrists could examine whether the president is sane. Because by his statements, he's insane. He's a madman. He's saying things that absolutely don't make sense on a daily basis. Medical examiners. Can't you remove somebody for medical reasons? Right, you know it's never going to happen because the ACLU would defend. The same ACLU that calls for killing Trump supporters. The same jackals that sat in the Supreme Court yesterday as they argued about affirmative action, such as Al Sharpton, who's a street agitator. They wouldn't let you have a medical board. They would say it's racism. So therefore, he's home free to do anything he wants, right? Or wrong? Have you imagined what this man could do unless the people stand up to him? You think that what he's done so far has been damaging to the fabric of America? You've seen nothing yet. Can't listen to talk radio anymore because although they know that we are truth-sayers, they're frightened. They know the government is filled with lying, deceitful. We don't even have words for this government of ours. Many of you have words, but we're not going to use them here because then I'll go into the hate that I'm trying to avoid, the rage, the anger, the righteous indignation. I've got to stay away from it. It makes you too brittle. It doesn't leave you flexible enough to fight them. And what's coming over the next year that's left of this monster is unimaginable. You think you've seen it all, you're mistaken, because I know what they do in the last 3 months. It's the sine qua non of everything that they've done before that, magnified by three. What Bush did to us in the last 3 months of his reign was unimaginable. I was the only one in radio who saw it coming. I called him a socialist or something like, a fiscal socialist. It was August of the last year of Bush's reign. I had always been a little queasy about him. I never liked him. I thought he was a double talker. I thought he was part of the deceitful establishment. It was proven when all the talk show hosts who were conservative were invited to lunch with him except me. That was okay. I accepted that. I'm used to it. As an independent, not Republican, I accepted that. Didn't matter. Now, what happened was, as I said, he's a fiscal socialist lookout, and he busted the economy out in the last 3 months, as you well know, and gave us Obama as a result. And they created Obama. Make no mistake about it. The Republicans wanted Obama. They carried the football of deceit for 8 straight years, and they knew they couldn't carry it for another 4, so they gave you Obama for another 8, figuring they'll play the game back and forth, the two-card Monty. See? So now we've had a Democrat for 8 years. It's time for Republican. And they're shocked that it may be an independent nationalist like Trump. And they're doing everything they can to shaft the American people. But I want to talk about what I talked about. And so I stand again. I'll go back to what I said to you before. I want to go in another direction. You can inspire in other ways. You can inspire through love, hope, and humor. Now you say, Mike, you know, that's all well and good, but we're facing a Muslim enemy. And I know the rest of the story. I can give you the whole paragraph, the chapter, and the verse. I've written about it. I've talked about it. Almost everything that Donald Trump says I agree with because it's all in my last 2 books. I'm not accusing him of plagiarism. Don't get me wrong. Trust me. If this is what you do in your spare time is write books instead of giving speeches, and then you hear the words that you say being spoken by others, what can you say? You say, thank God for the printed and spoken word. I posted a message on my Facebook page, given that I'm being censored on Facebook, where I said today's radio program will be very special and very different. I hope you will find it inspirational. And I intend to go down that road for a bit. And 4,443 people were reached since I posted it. I showed an article where the ACLU threatens to kill and tells people to kill Trump supporters. And Zuckerberg has not taken down that post. 9,000 people reached. That kind of tells you everything. And it puts what I'm about to say in a new context. And here's what I wrote. I'll just read it straight out. My voice and my ability to move crowds is my gift, but also my burden. This power of the magical voice, which I first discovered in the first grade in a slum school in the Bronx, can change people's fates. It's a great gift and a great burden. How would you use this power if you were me as a broadcaster and best-selling author from this day forward? I intend to make this day forward the first day of the rest of my life, as was said in the hippie 70s and 60s. We can change our lives. You say, well, what's wrong with your life, Michael? Well, it's not that there's anything wrong with my life, but it's not what I want it to be. I don't feel that I'm inspiring people in the way I want to inspire them. You see, you can inspire through hate, as ISIS does, as the ACLU does, even as Hillary and Obama do in their own quasi-moderate ways. They inspire through hate. You can inspire through anger. You can inspire through rage. You can inspire through false righteous indignation. We know that operates. We get it every day of the week, mainly on talk radio. In varieties, that's what you get. Anger, rage, false righteous indignation. And it riles you up and you listen. That's an inspiration. But then there's the bigger inspirations. You can inspire through love, hope, humor, the positives. I know it sounds hippy-dippy, 60s. I look at the history of the world, and I look at the world today, and I realize that if we don't inspire each other through positive attributes, love, hope, and humor, we're going to descend into the barbarism of the left and the barbarism of ISIS. Now, maybe this is a different turn for Michael Savage. I get it. You like me to be hard. You like me to be tough. You like me to give you the breaking news. You like me to be cynical. You like me to be analytical. You like me to give you stuff that you don't hear anyone else. I get that. But there's a limit to that. There's a limit to that. Believe it or not, that's all limited. There's a lot of area beyond all of that. That's called space, time, and the universe, and I want to go there. I want to go there in this life with you, and I want to inspire you in the most positive manner. So I'm asking you a simple question. If you were me, if you had the power that I have, for as long as I still may have it, and God only knows how long I'll have this power, as a broadcaster, as a best-selling author, how would you inspire people on this program? What would you do if you had the microphone to inspire people? I think about this season that we're in, the season of peace and the season of love. I think of Christmas. Christianity is the religion of peace. Christianity is the true religion of peace. Islam is not a religion of peace. Christianity is the religion of peace. Christianity is the religion of peace. The religion of peace. Turn the other cheek. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. These are messages that come from Christianity. What can you do? What can you do in an age of deceit and lies and terror? What you can do is reaffirm your own religion. Instead of letting your church become a mosque or a Unitarian a meeting place or a drunk tank on Tuesday nights, you can go to church again. However hokey that sounds, or however cynical you are, however hard you are, however unneeding you think you really are, you know in your heart that there's something missing in you. You know that you crave something greater. Because the human being is not a dog. The human being is not a bear. The human being is not a fly. The human being is not an eagle. We are unique creatures. And we need something different than the bear, the dog, the snake, and the eagle. What is that thing that we need? It's that thing called God. These creatures, they don't know God. They are of God. They were created by God. But they don't really need God. That's why they're lower animals. We, as higher animals, need higher things than just food and fornication. Unfortunately, our society, primarily because of the degenerates in the media, have fallen lower than the snake. The media has promulgated the idea and promoted the idea that we only need food and fornication. And so when people are empty, that's what they seek, food and fornication. And when they're really empty, what happens? They become drug addicts. They start with marijuana, they end up with heroin, crack, you name it. What is it about drugs? What is it that human beings are seeking in drugs? Why do they go for drugs? As God has been driven out of America, drugs have entered America. I know this has been said before. I get it. But what does an empty soul look to do? An empty soul looks to fill itself. Just as an empty vessel needs to be filled with a liquid to be complete. An empty human being needs to fill itself to be complete. And how does it fill itself? I know, again, many of you will laugh because you're cynical. It's through those things I'm talking about, inspiration. The musician finds the inspiration God knows where, and then has the inspiration to pick up the instrument. Do you think a musician can play one day without inspiration from somewhere? Unfortunately, so many musicians don't have that human inspiration that they seek, and they get it through drugs. I get that. I understand. It's true for many artists who don't understand that the greatest artists were not drug addicts. The greatest artists in the history of the world were not drug addicts. They were usually God addicts. Did you know that? Look at the greatest art in history. You'll find most of them were super religious people who literally saw God in their living room. And then took the power of God and it was transmitted through the paintbrush or through that piece of marble. How could a man like Rodin take a piece of inert stone and inside that stone see the essence of a human form and sculpt from that block of inert stone of marble the portrait of a human being that looks so real that 100 years later I go and look at them in the museum and literally inside that carved eye I can see the person. How is that possible? How? My voice and my ability to move crowds is my gift, but it's also my burden. This is a power, the magical voice. It's a power I first discovered when I found out I could speak to the assembly in the first grade of PS48 in a slum school in the Bronx. I found out that I enjoyed speaking to that crowd of kids. I wasn't afraid of them. I loved seeing their faces smile when I told a joke or made a fool of myself. It didn't matter. I was a little clown, and they laughed. I liked that. Or when I spoke with such a clear voice and wasn't afraid, the little pipsqueak that I was, and the crowd listened to me, I enjoyed that power. And I discovered something. I discovered I can move audiences, and that means I can change people's fates, as I learned later in life. It's not about just being a clown. It's not about entertaining people and making them laugh. It's about changing people's fates. It's a great gift and a great burden. I must tell you, I see as my last day in radio, my last day on earth. Would you believe that? I know you don't believe that. I know it's a form of reverse worship. But it's the only way to approach what I do and have any meaning. If I look at every show as though it's my last show, I look at my every book as my last book. That's a pretty big stress, by the way. But it also permits me to be fresh and new. I said again, and I'll repeat it again, some inspire through hate. Do I have to say who? Do I have to mention who inspires through hate and division? Do I have to say the names or the organizations that use hate and division as their stock and trade? Or through anger, rage, false righteous indignation? I've used all of them. In my 21 years, I used every one of those emotions to move my audiences because every one of those emotions raged through me or played through me or danced through me. There's a story of Einstein. I love this story. Great, great physicist Einstein. At this point, he was quite famous, and he had agreed to an audience with some man, I don't know who it was allowed to see him. The man came in, Einstein was sitting behind his desk, and he said, Herr Einstein, I realize what your theory of relativity means. It means that nothing is real. Nothing is real. So as the story goes, Einstein stood up slowly, walked over to him, and slapped him in the face. And he said, is that real? Now, you see what I'm saying to you. Don't get so disconnected from reality with your philosophy that you forget the danger you put yourself in, whether it means slipping on a sidewalk because your head is in the clouds, or bicycling through an intersection and killing a civilian because you think you're so great, as occurs too often in San Francisco where there are no laws against these bicycle terrorists. Or, in fact, in many other ways, you can get so disconnected from your body that you have no reality. Which leads us back again to how do I inspire you in an age where those who hate us want to kill us, and in fact are killing us. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2600. As I've said numerous times on this show, I'll say it again today, and we're talking about love and hate, love versus hate. If you look back into the Jewish Bible, the Old Testament, it's filled with hate. It says to kill homosexuals, kill adulterers, and more. You see, I've read Leviticus, including on the air, but modern Jews, even modern Orthodox Jews, don't kill homosexuals and they don't stone adulteresses. They know the difference between a 5,000-year-old text and the real world, the civilized world built upon Judeo-Christian values, but which eschews those passages that obviously proceed from man's barbaric past and not from the mind of God. What I just read to you is on page 279 of Government Zero, and so much more about what we are facing today, about U.S. Muslim attitudes, about Christian attitudes, Jewish attitudes, and nothing says it more than the sound bites that I played today of that poor man, the leader of the Yazidi Human Rights Organization, who spoke before Congress and told stories that you cannot believe are real about abducted girls, 7, 8, 9-year-old, who are being raped repeatedly until they bleed to death. And another story about children who were torn from their mothers by ISIS. And then the mothers come to the headquarters before the monsters to plead for the return of their children. And they're fed a meal. And then these monsters, these members of the Islamic State, inform the poor mother that they have just been fed the flesh of their own children by ISIS. Children murdered and fed to their own mothers. And many of you who sent me notes, please post it somewhere. I'm putting it up on michaelsavage.com. I want it to be spread around the country until eventually you shame Hillary Clinton into representing women, until you eventually shame all of the liars in the Obama administration to face the real genocides, the real hatred that is going on in real time right now amongst the minority communities in the Middle East, the Yazidis and the Christians, inflicted upon them by, yes, Muslims in the Islamic State. Things have gotten so bad and so twisted that they don't even want us to call it ISIS or ISIL anymore. They're now trying to get us to refer to these monstrous barbarians by the Arabic acronym, which I won't even repeat.